who is in the worship of the Lord. That's where our help is. His Spirit, His power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory. Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. We're reading verses 12 and 13. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him.
Hallelujah.
The Lord would help me tonight for a few minutes before we bring you around this altar to do personal business with him. I'd like to preach to you in your faith. Thy touch has still its ancient power. Thy touch has still its ancient power. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Thy touch has still its ancient power. This story is told by the synopsis. There are variations, but in no wise are we are to pay attention to the variations, because all the variations are just to tell us and convince us that the story must be true. Variations are non-essential. The truth of it is that when the things come to the real vital, there's a complete and verbal agreement. Matthew says, after he came down from the mountain, behold, there came a leper. Luke says, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. And Mark makes no note either of the time or place and simply states, and there came a leper. So all of the synopsis gospels come down to the certainty of the fact that there was a leper, and that he was, as the physician Luke said, full of leprosy. And Mark said he was just a leper. Matthew said he was a leper. But the physician said he was not only a leper, he was full of leprosy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So Mark begins the story of the life of Jesus in one of those charged right at the problem, and let's get it on and tell about Jesus. A man that is coming here in the story, he makes Jesus full grown in the Gospel of Mark. Not a baby in a manger, not a boy in the temple. He's a man on a mission. He's a healer of diseases. And there is only, takes 22 verses for Mark, 22 verses for Mark of his gospel. He plunges right into Jesus Christ and his healing power. Amen. First, he meets a man in a synagogue that has an unclean spirit, a man fit for a madhouse, and Jesus makes him whole. Then he moves on to the next, and he comes to Peter's house, touches Peter's mother-in-law, and the fever leaves, and she gets up and goes back to cooking. And then Mark goes on to record how, after sunset, Jesus just opens up a crusade in that city, and casting out devils and healing sick all night long. Man, that's a master. That's somebody that's got a touch. I'm not talking about a trickle. I'm talking about somebody has a touch of God on their life, and he is demonstrating that touch to the most possible critical audience that there was, and pulling forth evidence after evidence that his touch has power.
Right.
Oh, somebody already helped me preach. The evangelists report all the same facts, and even go so far as talking about the gestures. The leper threw himself on the ground, and all of them observed Jesus stretch forth his hand and touched him. All observing this too, Jesus touched him.
Right.
That's a rash demonstration. That shows you no fear in Jesus Christ whatsoever.
Right.
He did not fear leprosy, even though the man was full of it. Jesus reached out against the law and healed that which the law would not touch.
Right.
And he touched him.
Right.
And the Bible says that a leper is one of those people who by the Jews' standard was unclean and was commanded to stand afar off and cry, unclean, unclean. The poor man's life was defiled. Anything that came in contact with him was polluted. His house was polluted. Anything he touched was polluted. Every touch that he had, and anyone that touched him became unclean. I'm talking to you about a man who finds his way to the feet of Jesus. No matter how loathsome the case, and you could imagine what leprosy could do when we're not told what it had done, except that he was full of it. But the description of a leper is that he had white sores all over him, and that his joints would fall off, and it would be the part of leprosy that would dry up the fluids of the body, therefore making them brittle and able to break off.
Right.
So a leper's body was full of pain and not any hope. His voice was affected, and yet he must cry unclean. And all of it has come down to this, that he had no friends. Even the dogs would bark at him and go away. There was no one who would even give him any attention except to avoid him. But he finds Jesus. He finds the Lord. He finds him and he falls at his feet and he identifies himself as a leper and falls at his feet and says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus returns the answer immediately. I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed. Oh, you say, well, there's not a leper in the house. No, I know it. I'm preaching to a captive audience because no one even knows the very pitiful case that it says when a man is full of leprosy. But I can tell you how you can find out just how dreadful it is. Go downtown and find somebody who's sold their soul to liquor.
Right.
And look in their eyes. Find that person hasn't taken a bath in a month. Layered his clothes for the winter. Stinks to high heaven. Then you begin to sense the isolation that society puts on a man who has come so low, out of reach, out of function, no worth. Well, that's what a leper was considered.
Right.
You see,
right.
It is noted that it happens that when Jesus touched him, the immediacy of it, as soon as he had spoken, and immediately as soon as he had spoken, the leprosy departed from him and he was cleaned. Just that ancient touch, that power of his spoken word. That presence of Jesus. Walking into any situation automatically brings hope. Just the nearness of him arouses hope in the hopeless. Gives sense to that, we know he can. The uncertainty lies in if he will. The leper knew of his power. Thou canst, Lord. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I know you can. But will you? You look like a Jew. You act like a Jew. Will you? You see, that's the story we lose in this worship of Jesus. We get more out of the drumbeat and the drum roll than we do the truth anymore. Because the truth of the matter is, he didn't have any band playing when he had a healing campaign. He didn't even have a singer. We have no record that they had tambourines or anything else. Just when Jesus saw somebody and it moved him, he had the touch that could help. And tonight in this building, you've come tonight because down deep in your heart, there's a hope that he'll show up and help you. Because he still has that ancient power. He still has the ability to get down underneath the load with you and help you roll it over on him. So that when you walk out of this house, you no longer have the burden that you came with. Simply because it said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He has the power. He does. And this is what we need to move. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. That's the first time we meet this in the gospel. This leper brought it out of him. He was moved with compassion. Literally, it means he trembled all over with compassion. Very seldom do you hear anything about Jesus and his feelings. But note the feelings of Jesus Christ. He trembled with compassion for that leper. I don't know how you would do that. I've seen some things that made me sort of hurt on the inside when they were telling me and they were talking about what they were going through, and I felt it on the inside. I said, ooh, ooh. But Jesus literally, when he saw that leper, trembled. Just like a spasm went through him. He trembled when he looked at that leper, and they noted it. They couldn't explain it until afterwards. But they noted it immediately. Something strange just happened to the master. Look at him tremble. You see, the power has great feeling in it. His touch is not a touch of just proportioned to give anything to anybody. He has that power. But there are cases where Jesus came in contact with other people, and when he did, he trembled with that compassion. It's also when the widow of Nain, when they came out weeping, and her only son right in front of her as she followed him weeping to the cemetery. It moved Jesus until he stopped the funeral, and his ancient power came again, touching the dead. The dead setting up, giving him back to his mother. That's the only relief that Jesus could have from the hurting compassion that he had for that woman. The feelings of Jesus are often not told. We have always just skipped to his power. But before you skip to his power, look at his love. Does Jesus love you enough? The answer to that is a resounding yes, he does. Does Jesus feel what I'm going through? The answer to that is a resounding yes, he does. We have a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. That doesn't mean touching him like this. It means we touch him in his humanity.
Right.
As another human, he understands the bitter cup of life.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He saw the multitude as a sheep without a shepherd, and it moved him the same way. He has compassion, Jesus does, on sickness. He has compassion on those that are hungry and people with ignorance. He has compassion with those that are in poverty or spiritual need. These things touch his heart. The devil has convinced you that your case is the only case that Jesus doesn't care about. But I'm here to erase that and mark off of the blackboard and tell you there's not a case he doesn't care about. You're about to understand, I hope, that Jesus cares for you. You see, it's always drawing attention to this poor, unfortunate leper. But Jesus trembled all over when he saw him. And you know, when that God-man trembled and emotions rose that strong in him, he knew more than what he was saying, because he looked at the vastness of that leprosy. And in that day, that was the feared word, like we fear cancer.
Right.
That man's got cancer. When it first started, we didn't know there was a stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4, and you're staged out. We just knew cancer. Heart disease. The simple people, we don't always understand what we're looking at. But Jesus saw in that man an army that he represented. The world was suffering with leprosy. It was suffering with loneliness. It was suffering with death. Sin had left a bar down, and through sin, sickness had come. And Jesus knew the only way to get the bar back up. Somebody has got to care.
Right.
Amen. Oh, Jesus saw the ocean. We look at the waves. We don't really get moved with much until it comes to our door. Or somebody we love gets it. Then all of a sudden we talk about it intensely. I remember when Sister Donna tried to tell me, and it took me a while to even say Shidebreakers. And I don't even think I say it right now. I said, what in the world are you talking about? And she said, it's a rare thing. I said, it must be. Here I am, 60-some years old, and I never heard of it before in my life. And there's some doctors that were just like me. Didn't know nothing about it. But Jesus did. His heart ached and bled for those people who were afflicted. He saw that one leper, but he saw the whole army behind him that needed somebody that could heal leprosy and could do it immediately.
Right.
Don't forget that word. The word came out of his mouth, and immediately the leprosy was gone.
Right.
You see, we often think that God can't work like that anymore. No, he hasn't lost his ancient power. He put forth his hand and touched him.
Right.
And it's found so often in the gospel. Jesus laying hands on deaf and dumb people, laying hands on the blind, the deformed, the maimed, the halt. He laid hands on them, and that touch gave them new life.
Right.
What if the Lord has an appointment with you?
Right.
What if he's ready to touch you and just put new life into you? What if he's ready to stop the pain and give you a chance to be whole again? Can he do it? Will he do it? You see, we hear those stories, and all it took for for those ears to hear again was Jesus said, be open. All it took for the dumb to sing was him to touch their tongue. All it takes tonight is for us to understand that he is willing. If he's willing to touch a leper, he's willing to touch anybody at all.
Right.
You see, he laid his hand on the demonic boy and set him free. But the main thing is that he said, and never come back into this boy. And the boy died and never had another devil.
Right.
If the Lord tells something to leave you alone, it will leave you alone.
Amen.
Some of you tormented day and night with fear. But if the Lord talks to that spirit, if the Lord talks to that disease, if the word comes out of his mouth, that's the end of it.
Amen. Right.
Oh, his ancient power has not lost by this modern doubt. His touch still has that power.
Right.
Amen. He took little children up in his arms and he laid hands on them and blessed them.
Right.
He laid hands on them. I always wondered what it would have been to a child to have the hands of Jesus upon them. And listen to that sacred lips as they speak those tender words. Father, bless this child. I've often liked to have traced one of them. Just one of them to see how their life ended up. Just what kind of a man or a woman they made. I know they had to be different after that touch.
Right.
Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if the Lord could just touch the root of your problem? He's swift with the sympathy. He has compassion. His play of human feelings is just as real tonight as it was then. You say, Brother Benny, but he got up from the dead. Yeah, he did. But the Bible said there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And he still has our body. Amen. He can be touched. He will be touched by somebody. You see, this leper was cut off from everybody. He was homeless. He was excommunicated. He was cut off from everything and everybody. No hand claps had he for years. He felt no kiss of affection since he had leprosy. Everybody backed away from him. Nobody wanted him. If he had a wife, he was not allowed to live with her. If he had children, he was not allowed to play with them. He could stand afar off, cloth over his mouth, eyes wide awake. He could see them, but he couldn't touch them. They couldn't touch him. He had to stay a distance away from them. They could come so close and say, I love you, but they could never touch him.
Right.
You see, sin that has done such a horrible job about our own people. We have children that are unclean as this leper. They're isolated by their sin.
Right. Amen.
We can't touch them. We want to touch them. But we can't touch them. Their mind has been darkened. Their heart has been hardened. They have become insensitive to the words that we speak and to the letters that we write and to the things that we say about loving them.
Right.
You just don't touch them. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm glad Jesus came. The lesson's clear. He can touch and make a difference.
Right.
Are you going to help me tonight? You see, it's said of John Ruskin, he was walking through Whitechapel and he came, he seen things that just moved his heart and broke his heart. And one day a beggar accosted him and asked him for some alms, and he said, I cannot help you. He said, I'm sorry, brother, I cannot help you. I don't have a penny of change. And he said, you have helped me. And Ruskin said, how have I helped you? He said, you called me brother. Reaching out sometimes is the best revival we can have.
Right.
Touching somebody that hasn't been touched for a while. Instead, we shrink away. We sort of tiptoe around, try to avoid it. We must remember that Jesus reached way down when he touched that leper.
Right.
And was not afraid to. Him being the Prince of Peace, him being the great I Am, and yet he comes. And he comes to do it. He comes to want to do it. You see, the man's faith in the Lord's authority was amazing. He knew the Master's power, but he just didn't know his willingness. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. Jesus has the power. We try to persuade him. You don't have to persuade him to use it. That's the trick of the devil, trying to think you have to persuade him.
Right.
And the more serious, the more we think we have to persuade him.
Right. Come on now.
What was the persuasion he used, what this leper used? He could do nothing but do what he did, and he fell at his feet. And that was in violation of the distance.
Right.
He had done all he could do. He did not touch him. He did not reach out to hold him by his feet. He fell at his feet as in worship and adoration.
Right.
But that was enough to convince Jesus that this man wants to be changed.
Right. Yes.
Sometimes the only persuasion you need is down deep in your heart that you really want to be better than you are.
Right.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Some folks just want to touch so they can go on doing what they're doing and feel good about it.
Right.
But you need a touch that changes you.
Right.
You need a touch that changes your mind and your heart, your direction. You need a touch that makes you a new creature, that takes sin out of your life,
right,
takes bitterness out of your heart, takes hatred out of your home. You need a touch that makes you different than you were. But he's got that power to touch you. He's got that power to change you. He's got that power to set you on your feet. He's got that power to make you different.
Right.
And that's what you need. You need peace in your home. You need his touch.
Right.
Not on just one of you. Both of you.
Right. Come on. Right.
You can't get along with your children. You need that touch. You don't only need it, but your children need it.
Right.
You got problems with your finance. You need that touch.
Right. Right.
You need that touch that only he can give you. Because if he gives you, he can sew up the hole in your bag so your money you put in it don't fall out the bottom. He can take that stuff away from you. Amen. God's power, nobody doubts it. Nobody doubts it. There's not one in this building that doubts God's power. We wake up in the morning, see the sun coming up. We know somebody's had to put it there. We watch the little blooming flowers that are blooming in February. And I said, you courageous little thing. You don't know when you're going to get it. You don't know you're in Ohio. It can dump on you overnight. But you know what it does? It just throws this life open and said, do it if you can.
Right.
I was born to do this, to show God's glory.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
They're not afraid to open up to what the weather can do. They were born for one thing, God's glory.
Right.
Says, see me and know that I was created. See me and know that I have a creator.
Right.
See me and know that my life is not in me. It's in the God that made me. When he made me, he put life in me.
Amen.
And before the summer's over and fall and winter again, it will be dead and dormant in the ground. But the first spoken word of God, when he says it is time, it will shoot up through the snow and the ice, and it will do its best to glorify its creator. Well, we need a touch that makes us tough. We need a touch that makes us want to stand up and shout, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I'm a believer. I believe God can. And I believe God will. And his ancient power still has its touch. He can convict a sinner. He can convict a backslider. He can convict them while they sleep. He can convict them while they're walking. He can do it because his power still has its touch. He can go to the depths of the sea and touch somebody in a submarine. He did Jonah in a whale. When he touched the whale got more sense than most humans. It come up and got rid of that backslidden preacher so it could live. Sometimes it's the people we run with. We need to drop them.
Come on, Brother Benny.
They don't believe. They keep you from believing.
Come on, Brother Benny.
You're not helping me, are you?
Come on, brother.
You walk with him, you talk with him, you end up the day, your heads are swimming, and your stomach is upset, and you're wondering, what in the world's wrong with me? Probably the company you're keeping.
Come on,
or that television preacher you're listening to.
Come on,
or some of that junk music you jive at. You need to come on back to common sense. And say to the Lord, I need your touch. I don't want that music to touch me. I don't want to go around all day singing about somebody's got my wife and run off with her. I don't want to listen to somebody juking up and down on something that you can't make sense out of. I want something that gives me some sense. I need a touch that gives me sense. I need a touch that gives me courage. I need a touch that makes me right. I need a touch that makes me sing. I need a touch that helps me to get up. Amen. And help somebody else up. I can't get up till somebody helps me up, but then I can help somebody else up if I can get up. But it takes that ancient touch. It takes that power that only he can give. But if he touches you, you get up. You see, there's doxologies in the New Testament. And listen to Romans 16 and 25, where it says, now to him who is able to establish you. Now I listen to Ephesians 3 and 20, where it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we can ask or think. Now listen to Jude 24, where it says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. All three songs start the same simple way that you can sing it. Now unto him who is able. Now unto him who is able. You can't move the mountain, he can. You can't straighten the crooked out, he can. You can't make them be your friends, he can. You can't make your enemies leave you alone, he can. You can't get up out of the hole, he can lift you. I know somebody that's able. And that somebody that's able has got a touch that can do it. Come on, somebody shout amen. That's exactly God's power. It's a triumphant statement. Our God is able. Our God is able. The singer that said, now unto him, that's Jesus Christ, who is able to establish you. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. What's your worry? It's all covered. It's all covered in his touch. And all you got to do to get it is approach him. I don't care if you are as rotten as a leper. He's got a touch that can immediately change you. I don't care if you're as blind can make you. If you don't have any eyeballs in your socket, Jesus can create eyeballs out of spit, amen, and clay. He has the touch.
Amen.
You still don't believe me, do you? He said, why are you a preacher? He touched me. I didn't want to be a preacher. I never did want to be a preacher. The odd thing about me is I don't like crowds. As soon as I get you out of the door, I lock the door, I go home. I'm more comfortable. I got rid of the crowd. I didn't want to be a preacher. Why are you a preacher then? I couldn't help it. I got touched. It changed my life. Along with the touch came the preacher. Without the touch, I'm not a preacher. With the touch, I'm a preacher. Glory to God. With the touch, I could become a singer. With the touch, I could become a writer. With the touch, I could become anything. With the touch, I can become all things. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You can be dead like John or think you're dead like Daniel, and his touch can raise you up. Can anybody shout amen? You may be as cold as a frog in an ice cube, but God can warm your soul back up with his touch. How many have you ever been down and the touch raised you back up? How many's ever been blue and the touch gave you back your song? How many's ever been disturbed about something and his touch brought peace? Well, that's what I'm preaching to you tonight. His ancient touch has not lost its power. What Jesus was yesterday, he is today. And will be tomorrow. If nothing could stand before him then, nothing can stand before him now. And tomorrow, nothing will stand before him. He's a way maker when there seems to be no way. He's a door opener when the doors are shut on you. He'll make them open. Or he can shut the door and no man can open it. He can touch you and give you wisdom. He can touch you and give you love. He can touch you and give you peace. He can touch you and give you joy. His ancient touch has not lost its power. What this church needs is the Holy Ghost touching us. Oh, glory to God. I'm almost done. This poor fellow did not ask for happiness or success. He did not ask for the smile of fortune to come upon him. He just cried, Lord, said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Wonderful prayer, the faith of it, and it prevailed. Surely always it will. I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. I'm closing with this. It's a little poem about a bird that had broken free from his cage and flown up into the sky. And the bird asked God why he kept her in the cage so long. Listen. Up on God's window sill, a caroling high and shrill, shaken with ecstasy, at last clung my spirit free. God showed his glorious head, and singing to him I said, who was it did me wrong? Why was I caged so long? Tangled with wings and strings under the star. God said, I made the wings, you made the bars. I made the wings, you made the bars. The reason you can't sing, you made the bars. Why do you sit there? In a prison self-made, when the touch of his ancient hand can set you free. And we've known it, and known it, and known it, and known it. His touch first changed me 48 years ago. I cannot tell you the years and the months and the days and the hours and the minutes like my brother can, and I'm so proud of him. I hope he never forgets. I hope if the Lord tarries and he gets old like I am and can't remember where he's going upstairs or coming down, that when somebody asks him about being saved, he rattles it off. I think it's impressive because he's going back to just one touch. That touch started a new life and it's now so old. That touch started 48 years ago. And I am 48 and a few months now, amen, a few days now, old in the Lord. And I hope that I haven't lost that touch. Amen. I felt like tonight, preaching this to you, that it's going to be hard for me to be an evangelist, and you're going to have a hard time listening to me preach because you've heard me preach so often. And I told God, I can't help them people. You got to come to church, and you got to do something, because I can't help these people. If I could have helped them, I'd have helped them months ago. I'd have helped them years ago. I'd have helped them immediately. I can't do it. But I've come tonight to tell you someone who can. Jesus is able to calm any storm, no matter where it's at, in your head or in your heart. He's able to calm the storm. He's able to bring peace that passeth all understanding. He's able to break the yoke with his anointing and let you go free. He'll kick down the wall. And that's what he'd done to get to that leper. Society had built a wall up so high that leper couldn't get to him and he couldn't get to the leper. The law forbade it. Jesus simply walked up to the wall, kicked it down, reached and touched him and said, I will. And immediately the leprosy left. How many's come for that immediate touch tonight? You need an immediate touch. You need it in your home. You need it in your life. You need it on you. It's not in my hands. Neither is it in this bottle of oil. But it is at this altar. Because when you come to this altar confessing your faith, Jesus will meet with you. Amen. Eric came to prayer meeting today, and he was talking to me after prayer meeting, and I can't say it like he can, but he was just telling me, he said, I don't know what it was. He said, that dude you preached about, he said, it's just something I can't tell you about, but he said, it just comes on me. It don't come with any drum roll or fanfare. It just comes on me. He said, I'm walking down the aisle at work. Just start crying. Just break up and start crying. He said, it just silently just comes on me. Just falls on me. I said, that's exactly the way he wants it. His touch. Recognize it immediately. Don't draw back from it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season he'll lift you up.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
His touch. Need it.
That's right.
Oh, how we need it.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I was a singer, I'd probably just wear it back and try to sing, but I'm not a singer. But there's some good songs. You know that? He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Amen. And it does. Just that. Tonight.
Right.
Tonight. You see, I say this so you won't get despondent. I had last night's message, and I thought, boy, I've got it made now. I'm one ahead. You know what the Lord done today? Shut the door on that thing. I'm one behind, I said, Lord. I'm one behind now, and I could be one ahead. And instead of getting to preach the one that I felt on my heart last night when everything fell, I had to wait for him to touch me. And I don't know if he did by looking at you. But I know the truth of the matter is, his touch has not lost its power. He still heals all who will ask him. Lord, you can, if you will. And I've come tonight to tell you, you can drop the if. He will.
Right.
Stand with me. Praise God. Sister Millie, come and sing this altar call for me. Would you join me in prayer? And if while we're praying you feel impressed to reach towards God, and at the same time God lays on your heart somebody in your effort to touch God, would you call their name? Chances are, if you can touch him, that name will get a visitation. They need it. How many know somebody that needs that touch? Father, I come before the throne of God who said that we could come boldly, boldly, boldly to that throne of yours, that throne of grace, that we might find help, immediate help, not put off help, but immediate help. Some of our children, Lord, need immediate help. We feel like this revival was just for them. We keep waiting, Father, for you to touch them. You said you would help us. We now have it recorded, Lord. You said you would help us. And that was the second time, and the verification, you spoke it a week or so before, and then you verified it again. I don't need a written promissory note from you. You've always been true to your word. And I want to thank you now for what you're going to do. I call upon you, Lord, to touch my children and my children's children. Touch upon, Lord, I take upon myself to ask you to touch this church. They didn't ask me to ask you, but I take it upon myself to call their name in prayer, knowing that you're going to help them. There's here people who are suffering with diseases that has got them as isolated as leprosy. And all they need to escape out of that bondage is your touch. All they need to have a revival in their house, in their home, with their children, is just your touch. Right. Don't hesitate any longer, my Lord. Don't wait any longer. We're in desperate straits. We're running out of time. The sun is setting. The night is coming when no man can work. We're in dire straits, my Lord, and we need you to touch us. We need you to touch our homes where conviction can get to our children. They won't come to church, so we ask you to touch our homes so they will feel the conviction. We ask you to go to their homes and fill them with conviction. We want you to take the sleep away from them. We want you to make them uncomfortable in their bed. We want you to make their minds think of you. We want you to make them like the prodigal come to their good sense so they can see their lost state. We want you to give us revival where you work. We may sing and we may shout and we may run, but we want you to work. Oh, he's in this house. He is in this house. Glory to God. He's right here right now. Why don't you just reach up and touch him? Saying, really, just reach up and touch him. I just felt him come into this room. I wish I'd have felt that when I took my text. And I feel it now. And I'm just going to take it that the Lord is saying, it's okay, you've done the best you can, I'll take it over from now. Come on now, church.
Why don't you reach out?
And my soul was disturbed with sorrow.